Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 157 for the December 2020 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting, and these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips as often as you can to promote the comics you love. It's a great way to share your love of comics, support those comics, and help them stick around. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. I've had a few times recently I've forgotten to order something just because I missed it in previews. Now, as always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Now, when we hit the point where DC would fall within the premier publishers, we'll dive over to DC Connect. When we hit the two-page ad for Marvel, we'll dive over to the Marvel previews. Now, obviously, we're not going to go item by item or page by page or even publisher by publisher. There's just too much stuff. We're only going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you who send in clips. So please, like I said, open submission policy, send in clips as often as you can. Now with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 26 of the previews catalog, and it is the previews catalog. And yes, I do this every month, but hey, I've been sending in clips every month for the last, 156 of these. This makes 157 for me, so I get a little lazy sometimes on my picks, but it's nice to have an easy way to start. Anyways, I really do like getting previews every month and having kind of, for the most part, a one-stop shopping to find out what's coming out. Now, sure, there's the Marvel previews, which is included with the Diamond previews, and now you've got to go download that DC Connect to go figure out what DC's doing these days. But being able to find out what all the other publishers are doing, what's coming out, some of the toys, the games, the other merchandise and stuff, I find really cool. It's a great way to find things that I wouldn't otherwise have known about, and since I get my comics mail order, it's not like I'm just going to see stuff on the rack. And even if I was going into a local comic shop, I might not see certain things on the rack because either they didn't order it or they ran out before I got there or something like that. So being able to find out what's coming out and stuff a few months in advance and pre-ordering it, I really like. It works for me. Whether you do that or not, whether you actually buy previews or not, this information is available on previewsworld.com. It's worth checking out and seeing what's available if you're looking for new things to read. So once again, that's the previews catalog on page 26 of the previews catalog.
Dr. Mo here with a pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Radiant Black, number one from Image Comics. So writer Cal Higgins is coming off a triumphant run on Boom Studios' Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He recently worked on an Ultraman series for Marvel Comics. Higgins has done work at DC Comics, on Nightwing, and some other Batman-related titles. Now he's back at Image Comics with another creator-owned property in Radiant Black. So what is Radiant Black exactly? So based on the interview that Kyle Higgins provided to the website IO9, along with the previews material found in the latest previews catalog, Radiant Black is clearly drawing on Higgins' love of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Invincible, and just traditional superhero tropes. Based on the IO9 interview and the description provided in previews, Radiant Black follows Nathan Burnett, a 30-year-old who's just an average Joe, just trying to get by, suddenly gains superpowers, and he's kind of off to the races. Now, again, I bring this up that Kyle Higgins is a really big fan of Super Sentai shows, so I cannot help but imagine that we'll get some more characters with similar power sets in Radiant Black. But right now, we're only focused on one character. His name's Nathan Burnett. The art is provided by Marcella Costa, who's also worked on some other Image titles, such as Self-Made. Not overly familiar with Costa's work. Based on the preview pages, is a very clean style. Very, very much fits in the vein of a classic superhero show. And really, the artwork actually reminds me of the types of line art found in a bunch of Boom Studio titles these days, such as Power Rangers and Buffy and so forth. So if you're a fan of that cleaner, more classic looking superhero artwork, or classic, I would say 2000-ish sort of era superhero artwork, I think that this series may be for you. Radiant Black, number one, can be found on page 32 of the previews catalog and costs $3.99.
I too am picking Radiant Black on page 32 of the previews catalog by Image Comics. It's written by Kyle Higgins, who I think did some outstanding work on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with the Shattered Grid storyline. Now, this is kind of inspired by things like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's also referencing Invincible. And it's interesting because Invincible is a solo character feature. Granted, there were a lot of supporting characters, team members, etc., but it was featured on the one character. But because it's pointing out the leaning on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and the Super Sentai, you know, genre, if you will, I'm expecting at some point in this ongoing series, we're going to get a Radiant Blue, a Radiant Red, a Radiant Yellow or Pink or something like that, and have other people with similar powers. Maybe he teams up with them, maybe he doesn't. But for me, that's one of the things that differentiates the Super Sentai shows from, say, the Kamen Rider shows, where it's more solo hero featured on Kamen Rider versus team-based in Mighty Morphin and Super Sentai. So whether this is going to be solo character or team book down the line, don't know. But I'm going to give Kyle Higgins the benefit of any doubt there might be, because I think he just did some outstanding work with Shattered Grid and really created the comic book continuity of the Power Rangers and just did, like I said, an outstanding job there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with a blank slate, his own canvas, his own world to create, and where that goes. So once again, that's Radiant Black on page 32 of the previews catalog.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am in previews. We're on our first stop in Image on page 36. We're looking at Stray Dogs, number one, by Tony Fleeks. Trisha Forstner is the artist and cover artist. Tony Fleeks is known for his My Little Pony. I had to look that up. I don't know who he is. But this book is February 17th, 32 pages, full color, T+ for teen, $3.99, horror, series premiere. It's scary being a new dog. Sophie can't remember what happened. She doesn't know how she ended up in this house. She doesn't recognize any of these other dogs. She knows something terrible happened, but she just can't recall. Wait, where's her lady? It is a 5-issue suspense thriller by My Little Pony color artist Tony Fleeks and Trisha Forstner. Stray Dogs is Lady and the Tramp meets Silence of the Lambs. And if you read Brian Michael Bendis' thing underneath, it's Secret Life of Pets meets Seven. So either way, it's a horror one. It's pretty cool looking. The art looks pretty good. And Hollywood news, Paramount Animation has picked this up already. I will be picking it up. The art looks good. The story is intriguing. I may want the horror cover because I've been collecting the horror covers from DC Connect. I mean, the deceased also. So, Stray Dogs number one. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James, your co-host for the Comic Book Page podcast, the Back Issue Spotlight. I'm here and I'm recording my preview spotlight clips. And the first thing that I'm going to point out is on page 40 in this previews. And I believe it's things coming out in February. Yeah, February 2021. And on page 40, we have a book that is written by Mirka Andolfo and David Goy. I know Mirka. I have no clue who David Goy is. And the artist is Andrea Brocardo, who I've never heard of that artist. Sounds like he's Italian. That's where Mirka is from. And Mirka is doing one of the covers on this, but I'm going to read to you what it is. There's some preview pages, and the art looks really good. And it's interior pages. It's not just the cover art, which I did like. But the premise of this sounded kind of interesting. It says, in an underpopulated future Earth, devastated by the dire consequences of the Millennium Bug, the survival of mankind and maybe of the planet itself is handled by a small number of people, talented scientists who, despite the adverse situation and the stupid feuds that continue to divide the small number of people still alive, try to understand and study what is hidden in the depths of the abyss. Something mysterious and dangerous, which could eventually cause an even worse and more destructive catastrophe. Now, it also says on here, the 100 meets low. Low, underwater, it started off good, kind of ended, the 100 was kind of cool, started off really good, then it went, So I'm hoping this one can maybe start good and stay good through the whole thing. But I did like I said, probably the first half of the 100, the TV series. And I did like the first half of the comic Low. It kind of went off the rails there and wasn't very good later on. But I'm going to check this one out. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Mirka Andolfo. I think she's really good. One of her things that I really liked was her comic that she did over, I think she did it in Italy originally and brought it over. Unnatural, just an FYI, down there at the bottom of the page. Unnatural volumes 1 through 3, the trade paperbacks, are being solicited in here. But Deep Beyond, I'm going to check this one out. If it sounds like something that you would like, check it out. On to my next pick.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog on page 49. This comes from the image section, and this is actually two picks, Graphic Fantasy number 1 and number 2. Facsimile editions, which these are reprintings of the original appearances of Eric Larson's The Dragon, who would come to be known as Savage Dragon when he got his series at the launch of Image in 1992. But these are black and white fanzines that included The Dragon's original appearance from back in 1982. So, definitely some hard-to-find and pricey material if you are going to search for the originals here, but Eric Larson's jumping on the reprint bandwagon and providing these key first appearances as facsimile editions, so hopefully that means there'll be all kinds of his writings and other artwork and stuff in there, and, you know, any kind of ads or something that might have been included in these early fanzines that he was involved in. But the first one is 72 pages, $9.99. The second one, 32 pages at $5.99, which sounds to me just a little pricey for what you're getting here, but either way, should be definitely a lot cheaper than what it would cost you to find these out in the wild, so check them out. Both due out, looks like, on February 3rd of 2021.
Okay, this is James back with another pick. This is not something that I'm purchasing, but it's something that, for those of you who have not read this title, I'm recommending. Here's your jumping on point. It's on page 57, and it's the Department of Truth, Volume 1, The End of the World trade paperback. James Tynion IV is the writer. The artist is Martin Simmons. If you look at the cover of this thing inside of previews, that's not exactly how the art looks, but the art is very abstract. It's not photorealistic. It's very different and abstract. It's supposed to be that way based on the subject matter. And this one's collecting the Department of Truth number 1 through 5. And it's only $9.99. And I know if you pick it up from Cowabunga, you'll get at least 40% off. So this thing is going to be like $5, something like that. This is a no-brainer. I'm recording this for John. Hey, this is your chance to pick it up maybe and see what this is about. imagine a world where, and it's, we kind of see it, where we live in the era where we had fake news become a thing. It was never a thing. People kind of trusted the news. When Fox News and MSNBC and kind of came out, they started to skew a little bit more towards the left or right, and people created sounding rooms and sounding boards and echo chambers where they only listen to what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the news. They want to hear the news they want to hear. And so this kind of deals with a lot of that in a very tactful way. But basically, the truth is what people believe. And so this Department of Truth is trying to get rid of conspiracy theories that are going to take things off the rails or damage society. Kind of wish they did exist, because we see so many conspiracy theories today that need to be kept in check. And like I said, sometimes people don't like facts. They don't. But this is a different book because it's saying, and one of the examples in here was a flat Earth thing. I think that was the first issue. And if enough people believe the Earth is flat, the Earth is flat. The conspiracy becomes the weirdos who think that the Earth is round. So your reality is shaped by the numbers of people that believe in this stuff, what I would call nonsense. So I think everybody should read this. It's very trippy. It's very good. There's like little blurbs in here by Scott Snyder, by Kieran Gillen, Brian Michael Bendis, you name it. They're all in here basically saying this is awesome. It's a very good book. I think everyone should read it. And it's so relevant to what we see every day. So on to my next pick.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog on page 68. This is from the Image Comics section. I'm looking at Ice Cream Man, number 24. Writer is W. Maxwell Prince and artist Martin Marazzo. And this is due out February 24th for $3.99. And the solicitation just says, "We'll be up all night trying to raise $3.99 to save this guy's life." And the main cover has broadcast across the top of it, "Telethon. Stay up late and save some guy's life. Live, exciting, in person, music, entertainment. Broadcast from somewhere. Variety show to benefit Jerry, who's pretty sick." So I don't know what they're going to do here, but W. Maxwell Prince always has kind of a little twisted take on life, and I'm sure he's going to put this Jerry through some kind of a ringer here, and I'm curious to see how Telethon has something to do with it.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am in previews. We're on our first stop in Image on page 36. We're looking at Stray Dogs, number 1, by Tony Fleeks. Trisha Forstner is the artist and cover artist. Tony Fleeks is known for his My Little Pony. I had to look that up. I don't know who he is. But this book is February 17th, 32 pages, full color, T+ for teen, $3.99, horror, series premiere. It's scary being a new dog. Sophie can't remember what happened. She doesn't know how she ended up in this house. She doesn't recognize any of these other dogs. She knows something terrible happened, but she just can't recall. Wait, where's her lady? It is a 5-issue suspense thriller by My Little Pony color artist Tony Fleeks and Trisha Forstner. Stray Dogs is Lady and the Tramp meets Silence of the Lambs. And if you read Brian Michael Bendis' thing underneath, it's Secret Life of Pets meets Seven. So either way, it's a horror one. It's pretty cool looking. The art looks pretty good. And Hollywood News, Paramount Animation has picked this up already. I will be picking it up. The art looks good. The story is intriguing. I may want the horror cover because I've been collecting the horror covers from DC Connect. I mean, the Deceased also. So, Stray Dogs number 1. All right, on to the next pick.
Hi, my name is Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick this month comes in the Dark Horse section on page 82 with Black Hammer Visions, number 1 of 8, an exciting reimagination of the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer series told by guest writers and artists such as Patton Oswalt, Jeff Johns, Mariko Tamaki, Chip Zdarsky, Kelly Thompson, and more of comics top talents. Patton Oswalt joins artist Dean Coates, pardon me if I mispronounce that name, and Jason Wordy to explore the life of youthful superheroine Golden Gale on the Black Hammer farm before the beginning of Black Hammer number 1, and her struggle to maintain sanity as a middle-aged woman trapped in the unchanging body of a superpowered grade schooler. End shops February 10th, 2021, $3.99 with variant covers by Evan Dorkin and Hernandez Stewart. The Black Hammer universe, as I've said in past clips, is one of my favorite current superhero universes, so I'm really excited to see other creators play in the sandbox of the Black Hammer universe. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also on page 82 of the Dark Horse section with Barb Alien Red Planet number 4 of 5. Shape-shifting hero Barb Alien has found happiness in the company of a young gay activist, but discrimination, his own split identity as a cop and vigilante, and the continued rampage of the Martian bounty hunter Boa Boaz all threaten to unravel his life. End shops February 17th, 2021 for the cover price of $3.99. Barb Alien is also part of the Black Hammer universe and is an analog of the DC hero Martian Manhunter. In past stories from the Black Hammer universe, we've seen a little bit of his life on Mars, but I'm looking forward to reading this miniseries that explores his origins and how he came to Earth. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the Dark Horse section on page 90 with Tales from the Umbrella Academy, You Look Like Death, number 6 of a 6-issue miniseries. With funding from the Hollywood gods, Kloss directs his new film, starring aging starlet Vivian Clark in a long-shot attempt to rein in her evil, while finding some peace for his doomed author friend. But the real ace in the hole may be the vampire chimp lord, who's put a price on Klaus's head. End shops February 24th, 2021 for $3.99. I've received the second issue of this miniseries from Discount Comic Book Service, but I've yet to have a chance to read it. But I thoroughly enjoyed the first issue, even though original artist and co-creator Gabriel Ba is only doing the covers. The artwork still fit in the bizarre world of the Umbrella Academy universe. So I'm enjoying this new Umbrella Academy miniseries as much as I have the past ones. Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes from the DC Comics digital magazine on page 2 with Future State Superman House of L number 1 one-shot, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Scott Godlewski, cover by Yannick Paquette, cardstock variant cover by Jay Anacleto, pardon me if I mispronounce that name, on sale February 23rd, 2021 for $5.99 for 48 pages. The cardstock variant cover will be priced at $6.99. Centuries into the future, the bloodline of Kal-El, the hero we know as Clark Kent, continues. Meet a new generation of Kryptonian heroes as they stand against one of the greatest threats they've ever faced. A diabolical foe called the Red King. Get ready for the unexpected debuts of the twins known as Rowan and Ronan Kent, descendants of Jonathan Kent. Rowan is the new Superman of Earth, while his sister is a Blue Lantern. Also on board are Theander Ban-El, whose mother was Tamaranian, and other heroes, all led by the original Man of Steel himself. Plus, don't miss an appearance by the Black Racer. See how the future of the Superman family comes together in this wild, extra-sized special. When I read this solicit, I was really excited because when I was a kid in the 1960s, I enjoyed all of the imaginary stories in Superman comic books where they would take Superman and have him marry Lois Lana or even Lori Lamaris, or we got to see a future descendant of Superman. So I'm looking forward to reading this issue that explores the legacy of the Man of Steel. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in a DC Connect digital magazine, this time on page 13 with Future State Immortal Wonder Woman number 2 of 2. The story Immortal Wonder Woman is written by Michael W. Conrad and Becky Cloonan, with art by Jen Bartel. Nubia is written by L.L. McKinney, and art by Aletha Martinez and Mark Morales. The cover is by Jen Bartel, with a cardstock variant cover by Becky Cloonan, on sale February 16th, 2021, for $5.99 for 48 pages. The cardstock variant cover is $6.99. The undoing is here. Superman couldn't stop it. Darkseid couldn't stop it. Only Diana Prince is left to hold back the being that could spell the complete disintegration of the cosmos. But will even she be powerful enough for the task? Meanwhile, in another future, Nubia's attempts to stop the theft of ancient artifacts have led her to an even bigger conspiracy and an even bigger foe. Circe is up to her old tricks, even after all these years, and she has an offer that Nubia will find hard to refuse. I'm looking forward to reading this two-issue miniseries for much of the same reason as I am House of L, looking at the far future of Wonder Woman as an immortal being. And the story involving Nubia looks just as interesting. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Connect digital magazine on page 15 with Future State, Kara Zor-El Superwoman, number 2 of 2, written by Marguerite Bennett, with art by Marguerite Savage, and cover by Paulina Ganucho. Pardon me if I mispronounce those names. With the cardstock variant cover by Alex Garner, on sale February 9th, 2021 for $3.99. The cardstock variant cover is on sale for $4.99. The moon colony built around Superwoman's Fortress of Solitude is under siege. Shape-shifting aliens have come to this place of peace in search of Lunari, a refugee from their homeworld. It's a bad move on the part of these intergalactic bad guys. If Kara Zor-El offers you sanctuary, there's no way she's going to let anyone get their monstrous hands on you. Let's just hope this gamble is worth it, because Lunari's secret, the one that got her in trouble in the first place, could mean bad news for everybody. What excites me about this two-issue miniseries is we get a chance to see Supergirl as an adult and pretty much out of Superman's shadow, and operating as a superhero on her own. So this story is very exciting to me. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is on the very next page in the DC Connect digital magazine on page 16 with Future State, Legion of Superheroes number 2 of 2, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art and cover by Riley Rosmo, with a cardstock variant cover by Ian McDonald, on sale February 23rd, 2021 for $3.99 for 32 pages, and a cardstock variant cover will be priced at $4.99. The unthinkable has happened. One of the Legionnaires has betrayed the entire galaxy. The United Planets is in ruins. The team has been scattered across the cosmos, and madness reigns on multiple worlds. Now the surviving Legionnaires are just discovering the real truth behind what has happened to their dream of a new age of heroes. Don't miss this shocking twist, 1,000 years in the making, from the team of writer Brian Michael Bendis and visionary artist Riley Rosmo. As I've mentioned before, the Legion of Superheroes title is my second favorite next to Superman, and they're very close together, especially with the connection the Legion has with being inspired by the Man of Steel when he was Superboy, if you go back to the original continuity. This kind of reminds me a little bit of the 5 years later era when the Legionnaires was disbanded, but there was no Legion traitor back then. Some of the best Legion stories have been when they have their backs against the wall and face an overwhelming challenge. And we see the best come out of the Legion, and we see what they're really made of. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Brian Michael Bendis is going to do with the Legion in this story.
Dr. Moe here with the DC pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Future State Nightwing number 2. So I'm really looking forward to the Nightwing Future State series because A, Dick Grayson is back being Nightwing, not Rick Grayson. So glad that that situation has been really cleared up. Based on the solicitation text and the cover, Nightwing will be teaming up with the Future State version of Batman, who is supposed to be seen in the Future State Justice League series and the next Batman title. Curious about that dynamic. We'll see how it plays out, especially given who we think the Future State version of Batman is supposed to be. I'd be kind of curious about that. The other reason I'm excited about this Future State Nightwing series is the art is supposed to be by Nicola Scott. Nicola Scott has been just doing DC titles off and on for many years. I fell in love with her work on Birds of Prey, Wonder Woman, Earth 2. She's depicted Nightwing in covers and in some, I guess you may call promo art. But as far as I can tell, this is the first time she's actually tackled a Nightwing series. Now, I'm assuming that this is Nicola Scott is just taking a break from Black Magic in order to do this. Perfectly fine. Hope that she actually does a little bit more Nightwing in the normal DC continuity post Future State. Again, it looks like a fun title. It looks like a classic Dick Grayson, Rock'em Sock'em Good Time. You know, it's only 2 issues. I may be totally wrong, but I've been a huge Dick Grayson Nightwing fan going back to, I don't know, mid to late 80s. And quite frankly, you know, Dick Grayson is at its best as a character when he's doing a lot of acrobatics, kicking butt, just having fun being a superhero. I mean, what is that not to like? Future State Nightwing number 2 can be found on page 17 of DC Connect and costs $3.99.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Connect digital magazine, this time on page 21 with Future State, Superman of Metropolis number 2 of 2. Superman of Metropolis is written by Sean Lewis with art by John Timms. The Guardian is written by Sean Lewis with art by Cully Hamner. And Mr. Miracle is written by Brandon Easton with art by Valentin Delandro, with a cover by John Timms and a cardstock variant cover by Inhyuk Lee, pardon me if I mispronounce that name, on sale February 2nd, 2021 for $5.99 for 48 pages. And the cardstock variant cover is $6.99. Brain Cells, the advanced offshoot of the diabolical Brainiac, continues to lure Jonathan Kent down the wrong path. But things go from bad to this can't get any worse when it appears it has also taken some manner of control over Supergirl. If the Kryptonians clash, nothing will be able to protect the bottled city of Metropolis. Meanwhile, inside the bottle itself, the Guardian is doing everything he can to stop the city from destroying itself from within, while Mr. Miracle has discovered the trail of a strange signal that he doesn't realize will take him to War World. What intrigued me about this 2-issue miniseries is we see the beginning of the legacy of Superman as his son Jonathan Kent takes over as Superman of Metropolis and of Earth. So I can't wait to see how this story plays out. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Connect digital magazine on the very next pages, number 22 and 23, with Future State, Superman vs. Imperious Lex, issues number 2 of 3. of a three-issue miniseries, written by Mark Russell with art by Steve Pugh, with covers by Yannick Paquette and a cardstock variant covers by Skahn. Issue number 2 is on sale February 23rd, 2021, and issue number 3 is on sale March 30th of 2021 for $3.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers will be $4.99. The solicit for issue 2 reads, "It's really happening. Lexor has joined the United Planets. While surveying, Lois Lane and Superman discover that the planet is rich in minerals, causing Lex Luthor to try and exit the Federation to make a pretty penny. Realizing he can't leave without agreement from Earth, he imprisons Lois Lane, then whips up the propaganda machine against Superman. Now the power couple must work together to break free and stop Luthor's plans. But how can they fight a whole planet that's designed to hate them?" And the solicit for issue 3 reads, "Could the last days of Lexor be here already? Thanks to Lex Luthor's greed, his adopted home is on the brink of financial and planetary ruin after leaving the United Planets. Now it's up to Superman to act as a champion of these people and show them there's a way through all of this. Will Lex stand down? Or is this the final showdown? The future of Lexor depends on it." I was really excited when I first read the solicit to this three-issue miniseries because of the mention of Lexor, which goes all the way back to my childhood in the mid-1960s when I first began to learn how to read Superman comic books. Lexor was a planet that Lex Luthor stumbled upon in a story where he escaped prison and left Earth to get away from Superman. He discovered a backwards planet whose population had lost the ability to operate its ancient technology and was suffering a very terrible drought. Not only did Lex Luthor discover a new source of water, which saved their agriculture, he was also able to learn their ancient technology and put the planet back on the road to progress. And on that planet, Lex Luthor is the hero and Superman is the villain. So I can't wait to see how that backstory plays out in Superman vs. Imperious Lex. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is on the very next page, number 24 in the DC Connect digital magazine, with Future State, Superman Worlds of War number 2 of 2. Superman Worlds of War, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, and art by Mikhail Janin. Pardon me if I mispronounce that name. Midnighter, written by Michael W. Conrad and Becky Cloonan, with art by Gleb Melnikov. Black Racer, written by Jeremy Adams and drawn by Sia Ohm, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name. Mr. Miracle, written by Brandon Easton and art by Valentin Delandro, with a cover by Mikhail Janin and cardstock variant cover by Riccardo Federici. On sale February 16th, 2021. It's $7.99 for 64 pages, with the cardstock variant cover being $8.99. Meet the rising champion of the gladiatorial pits of War World, Superman. The Man of Steel is still down in the pits, duking it out with Mongol's hordes, and working his way up to the big boss himself. But since it's Superman, there has to be more to this than a simple determination to win the title belt, right? Yes, because he's also got Midnighter out there on a mission to chase down a dangerous new power source. But the man standing in his way is all too familiar. Plus, the Black Racer smashes her way to freedom, and Mr. Miracle, now trapped on War World himself, has to find his way back to the bottle city of Metropolis. And his only mode of transportation is a busted boom tube. I was introduced to War World back near the end of the Superman in Exile storyline, in the late 80s, early 90s, which is when I first started reading the modern Superman continuity as an adult. So I'm looking forward to revisiting War World once again with Superman. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Connect digital magazine on the very next page, number 25, this time with Future State, Superman Wonder Woman number 2 of 2, written by Dan Waters, with art by Lila Del Duca, with a cover by Lee Weeks, and a cardstock variant cover by Terry and Rachel Dodson. On sale February 9th, 2021 for $3.99. It's for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant cover is $4.99. Our heroes have challenged the gods themselves to a test of bravery for the fate of the Earth. But gods are notorious cheaters, and with Superman's powers in flux, it falls to Wonder Woman to face down the sun itself. A utopian future awaits, but only if a Kryptonian peacemaker and an Amazon warrior can put aside their differences to become the world's finest heroes. I'm looking forward to reading this title because it explores once again the legacy of Superman as Jonathan Kent takes the mantle as the Superman of Earth. And I am looking forward to seeing how things turn out with this new Amazonian who has taken the mantle of Wonder Woman. Billy Hogan again. My final pick from the DC Connect digital magazine is on page 30 with Generations Forged number 1, One Shot, written by Dan Jurgens, Andy Schmidt, and Robert Venditti, with art by Brian Hitch, Mike Perkins, Bernard Chang, Paul Pelletier, and others, with a cover by Liam Sharp and a variant cover by Raphael Albuquerque. This one-shot is on sale February 23rd, 2021 for $9.99 for 80 pages. Dispersed through time by the villain Dominus, our ragtag team of generational heroes, featuring 1939 Batman, Commandy, Superboy, Steel, Starfire, Sinestro, Booster Gold, and Dr. Light, must find a way to restore the timeline, and what they ultimately discover is something far, far greater. You'll have to read it to believe it as time dies and generations rise. Normally, I might not have picked something that's this expensive at almost 10 bucks, but with the title saying Generations Forged, I'm wondering if this will lead into the next continuity of DC Comics, much like Flashpoint led to the New 52 continuity, so I couldn't resist it, and fortunately I've got enough of my comic book budget that I can squeeze it in. So I'm looking forward to seeing if this is going to have some hints as to a new continuity that DC Comics might be bringing out in the near future.
My next pick is on page 30 of the DC Connect, and it is Generations Forged. And I don't know if this is going to be kind of picking up from where Generations Shattered left off, where Future State ties into all of this, or what, but I do think this is going to be what kind of kicks off the new and hopefully improved DC universe, multiverse, megaverse, omniverse, or whatever it may be next month, in the next DC Connect. Anyways, future state of DC, but well, they've already used that for the last 2 months. Man, the terminology on this is so confusing. Anyways, I think this is probably going to kick off the next era of DC, and I'm cautiously optimistic. I am hopeful. I just don't know if that's a grounded optimism or not. But either way, I'm going to pick this up. I'm actually all in for Future State because that's 2 months. But I don't know what I'm going to be getting at DC in that next DC Connect catalog. I'll probably be spending a lot more time, and they're going to have to sell me on each of the titles that, well, frankly, I had been getting before. So we'll see what happens there, but I'm curious about this Generation Forged one-shot. It's 80 pages. It's $9.99, so I'm glad I'm ordering online through, you know, Cowabunga Comics and able to get a good discount on that. But either way, it looks like it could be, and I stress could, a pivotal moment for the DC properties and what happens afterwards. So once again, that's Generations Forged number 1 on page 30 of the DC Connect catalog. My next pick is on page 32 of the DC Connect catalog. It is Truth and Justice number 1. This is one I'm going to sample. I'm not going to commit to it long term, but I'll give it a few issues, see what happens. It is a anthology series, which is already a warning sign. It's 40 pages, $4.99, digital first, which not really a warning sign there. They've done some good digital first stuff before, actually quite a bit. The anthology part is part of what has me worried. We're going to start with Vixen teaming up with Dr. Mist and Impala of the Global Guardians. And man, the Global Guardians is not a team we've seen often. I would actually say one of their more memorable appearances was back in the early 80s, where they showed up in the Super Friends comic, which was pretty much outside continuity. But then I think maybe an issue or two of DC Comics Presents. And man, I'd be hard-pressed to name other appearances of that international superhero team really afterwards. I know they've had some appearances, just not very memorable ones or very often ones. And then the other feature we're going to get is, well, I guess that's the only feature we get. I was thinking there was going to be a second feature in there, but I guess it's anthology on an issue-by-issue basis versus multiple stories per issue. Okay? So, yeah, we'll see what happens. The problem with that is I think people are going to wind up saying, well, I don't care about this character, skipping this issue, I like this one, getting that issue, and it's going to have hard-to-predict sales, and that rarely does well for a title, because it's effectively a series of either one-shots or miniseries strung together, and those titles typically don't last that long. The fact it's digital first may help it, but we'll see, we'll see. Anyways, like I said, I'm curious about this, I'm going to sample this. Maybe a good chance for some characters that don't get in the limelight often to get focused on. So we'll see. Truth and Justice, number one on page 32 of the DC Connect catalog.
Dr. Mo here with another DC pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Far Sector, number 10. It's been a while since I've submitted a clip professing my enjoyment of this Green Lantern series, and I figured that given that the lead character, Sojourner or Joe Mullen, is part of the Future State Justice League title, I believe, I figured it was a great time to kind of promote her adventures in the current DC Universe continuity. Now, for those of you who may not recall or have read this title, Far Sector, it's a Green Lantern title. It stars Joe Mullen, who is a rookie lantern who has been sent to City Enduring, which is a technological haven in the vast regions of space. Now, there are three different beings in City Enduring, and there's a bit of political strife between the three different factions. Now, when Joe first arrives, her mission is to more or less try to figure out why did this first murder had occurred in 500 years. Now, from there, it just spirals into all this sort of political intrigue, more murders and so forth. And this title really is a Green Lantern doing space cop stuff. You don't get a whole lot of the other Green Lanterns, but it very much is a rookie Green Lantern series doing, you know, the fantastic and wild constructs and everything that you come to love about Green Lantern. The artist is Jamal Campbell, whose depictions of the technology is just absolutely breathtaking. I love the constructs that he comes up with for Joe, and that the color palette in this comic is just pops off the screen. And I truly hope that after Far Sector ends, Far Sector is a 12-part maxi series, that we will get more of Sojourner interacting with other members of the Corps, perhaps interacting with the Justice League, as depicted in the Future State Justice League title. Far Sector has had like this interesting sort of publishing history within DC. Initially, it was a Young Animal title. Now it's become a Black Label title. So it's kind of the sort of quandary of where does this kind of fit within normal DC continuity. If I honestly wouldn't worry about that right now. If you want a Green Lantern series that is more or less, it takes the best parts of a traditional Green Lantern story, which is the space cop stuff, and it kind of marries it with a bit of grittiness and the politics of dealing with these alien races and so forth, you will really like this series. It's written by novelist N.K. Jemisin, and if you've read any of her novels, you can see some of the themes that she's sort of playing with in this title. Far Sector number 10 can be found on page 46 of DC Connect and costs $3.99.
Hey John, this is Nick with a pick from the DC Connect special catalog, and this is from page 65, Flashpoint, the 10th anniversary omnibus. I'm not sure if this content had been previously collected all in one edition, but in any way, it is going to be available in April for $150 at 1,504 pages. And again, this would be kind of that slightly oversized page. But basically, this is collecting everything leading up to and including the Flashpoint event that occurred back in 2011. And just after this is when I started reading comics for the first time as an adult. And so I quickly went back and caught up on a bunch of the mini-series that made up this event, as well as reading the main event. And I'll read to you what it says is collected here, just to get a sense for how massive the book is going to be, and some idea of how you get to 1,504 pages. It's going to collect Booster Gold 44 through 47 and The Flash 9 through 12, which I think were both contained events that led up to the series. Then Flashpoint 1 through 5, which is the main event. And then each of these is the mini-series that fleshed out the world of Flashpoint. And that's Reverse Flash number 1, Abin-Sur, The Green Lantern 1 through 3, Emperor Aquaman 1 through 3, Batman Knight of Vengeance 1 through 3, Citizen Cold 1 through 3, The World of Flashpoint 1 through 3, Deadman and the Flying Graysons 1 through 3, Flashpoint Deathstroke and the Curse of the Ravager 1 through 3, Lois Lane and the Resistance 1 through 3, The Outsider 1 through 3, Secret 7 1 through 3, The Canterbury Cricket number 1, Wonder Woman and the Furies 1 through 3, Kid Flash Lost 1 through 3, Project Superman 1 through 3, Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown 1 through 3, Green Arrow Industries number 1, Grodd of War number 1, Hal Jordan 1 through 3, and The Legion of Doom 1 through 3. So that's a lot, and pretty much seemed to contain work from all the writers and all the artists who were currently working for DC at the time. And a lot of these were great little side stories, and surprisingly did a pretty good job getting me acquainted with and interested in a lot of the characters that flesh out the DC universe. So it was fun to kind of see the redevelopment that they were doing in the New 52, along with this crazy kind of gonzo Elseworld take on the universe at the same time. So check it out if you were interested. I would definitely try to find this at a discount from, you know, any of your online retailers, or see if your local comic store will give you a discount on this. Otherwise, I can't ever justify paying $150 on a single book. But do check it out on sale April 20th, 2021.
My next pick is one that I'm really excited about, and honestly, I find the timing of the release absolutely hilarious. It is Who's Who Omnibus Volume 1 Hardcover, and it's going to collect Who's Who of the DC Universe, or the the official title? Who's Who, the Definitive Directory of the DC Universe, numbers 1 through 26, the Who's Who Update 87, 1 through 5, the Update 88, 1 through 4, plus material from some of the annuals from, I think it was 1989, it says there. First off, it's Volume 1, so if they're going to do a Volume 2, other than the Loose Leaf edition, I'm not sure what all they would include there, although maybe the Who's Who in the Legion of Superheroes and some stuff like that. Anyways, the Volume 1 aspect has me a little confused, because this is really collecting, I believe, most of what was published of Who's Who. There might have been some stuff in the 90s, some updates. Anyways, the reason I find the timing on this hilarious is this was originally done right after Crisis on Infinite Earths. And during the 2 years or so this came out, starting in 1984 and such, the universe it was cataloging fundamentally changed. So you have references to Earth 1, Earth 2, and the pre-Crisis timeline. Crisis happens and such, and then you get some updates later on that are how things, quote-unquote, always were in the post-Crisis world. But this is one of the early go-to references for the DC characters. And, I mean, it had some amazing covers by George Perez. It had some really good artwork throughout, because they usually got kind of the most notable creator or an appropriate creator for each character. And it had just all sorts of stuff. And I'm actually going to be curious if they can get all of it in there, because like the first volume included Atari Force, which was a title they published, but not part of the DC universe proper, I believe. And I'm not sure if those are characters they really own or not. And if the Atari Force name is something they could use, but either way, I don't know that they've ever collected these things before. Now, granted, the $150 cover price for this hardcover, pretty staggering. It's 1,320 pages, which is also pretty staggering. And to have this coming out, which is pretty much documenting post or pre-Crisis with a little post-Crisis, at a point at which, because this is coming out at, it says April 13, where we're a month or two into the post-future state status quo, whatever that might be. Again, the timing is just hilarious, because I don't think things will have necessarily solidified in this new reality. And then to be getting the cataloging and organization of things as they were in flux, you know, leading up to and during Crisis and stuff. Again, the parallels there are just hilarious for me. But I'm a big fan of these catalogs and such. Who's Who, I think, is really ripe for a modern-day collection, because like I said, I don't think it's come out in trades or anything. It might have come out in maybe the showcase format, but I'd have to go look at my bookcase and see if I can find it, because if it was collected, I would have gotten it. This is where Comic Book DB no longer being around is really unfortunate, because I would have just gone and checked there and found out where it was reprinted. But no longer exists, so I couldn't. Anyways, this was coming out at a time when they had shifted to a then more modern printing technique, kind of that, I think it was the Baxter format or whatnot. So sometimes the art and color was a little out of alignment or something like that. Anyways, this was mid-80s. It wasn't the printing quality that we have today and the color and quality we have today. So I'm really hoping they've done a good job kind of updating that. It should make the text a little easier to read and the art just kind of pop a little bit more. But yeah, I'm very excited about this, and the possibility of a Who's Who Omnibus Volume 2 down the line sounds pretty cool. Who knows, maybe they will be starting one to catalog the now current reality, you know, come 2021 and such, which could be pretty cool. So not something I think most people are going to get, but like I said, I'm very excited about it. It's a bit pricey, so I'm glad I'm doing mail order and able to get a good discount on that. Once again, that's the Who's Who Omnibus Volume 1 hardcover on page 76 of the DC Connect catalog.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick, and I'm in the IDW section on page 106, looking at Transformers Beast Wars. 25 years ago, this cartoon came out in 1996, and a cartoon was awesome. I'm pretty sure I watched every episode to 99. It had three or four seasons, and it wasn't your normal Transformers, and it was all computer animation and not drawn and stuff. It was pretty big back when I was a kid. So I'll just read the stuff. Gem of the Month, Eric Burnham, writer. Josh Burcham is the artist. Wow, that could be very confusing. Covers, Burcham, Osio, Shonen, and Brookenshire. They all have different covers. There's two retailer incentives. Full color, 48 pages, $5.99, available in February. Celebrating 25 years of Beast Wars in the future, the planet Cybertron begins to... belongs to a scientifically mined Maximals and the action-oriented Predacons. When a crew of Predacons, or Decepticons, led by the successor of Megatron's name, steal a golden disk and a ship capable of traveling through time, it's up to Optimus Prime, or Optimus Primal, and his Maximal crews, Rat Trap, Rhinox, Cheetor, and a new character, Nyx, to catch them. Brand new Beast Era begins in an oversized first issue by Eric Burnham. He does Ghostbusters, Transformers, Ghostbusters. And Josh Burcham, Transformers, Transformers, Galaxies. Yes. All right. That's a weird way to end it. the cover looks pretty cool. I would hope that the retailer incentive B is not too expensive, because that's the one I would want. I remember watching this as a kid. This was awesome. And there's a new character, so I don't know how, you know, speculating if that new character is like a new thing to get this book for. But I'm definitely picking up Beast Wars. This was childhood nostalgia. We're bringing the 90s back again. All right, on to the next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is from the IDW section this time, on page 108, with the Comic Book History of Animation, issue number 4 of 5, written by Fred Van Lente, with cover and story art by Ryan Dunleavy. Don't touch that dial. It's Saturday Morning Funhouse. We roll into the 1960s, during which a CBS executive named Fred Silverman had the brilliant idea to turn Saturday mornings into all-kids programming, transforming the Toon landscape forever. Hanna and Barbera are fired from MGM, but become the biggest animators in the country. But what happens to all the jobs sent overseas? In Japan, the animation industry begins taking its first few steps toward dominance, where Hayao Miyazaki begins learning his trade and yearning for more. In shops February 24, 2021 for the cover price of $3.99. After reading this solicit, I'm excited about this issue because I was a kid in the mid-1960s watching TV on Saturday mornings, and this is my golden era of animation, watching all the Hanna-Barbera cartoons as well as the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show along with Tom and Jerry and Mighty Mouse. So I think I'm going to get a big kick out of the Comic Book History of Animation. I would have never thought that Saturday mornings would not continue to be kids programming and cartoons all morning, but with the digital age and cable TV and streaming services, you can pretty much get cartoons any time of day or night. So I'm really excited to read the Comic Book History of Animation.
X-Men Patrick back, and you knew I was going to catch this one. On page 121 of the previews, IDW, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, number 3. You know, the Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird are the writers. Tom Waltz joins them. Artist is Kevin Eastman, Ben Bishop, Esau, and Isaac Escroza. Covers, Eastman's got one. Bishop, Esau, and Isaac have one. And Freddie Williams III has the retailer incentive. You all know how number one retailer incentive blew up. That might be the one to get. All right, full color, 48 pages, 7x11. Yes, it's an awkward size. $8.99. Yes, it's a pricey book. Available in February. Unexpected allies from the past reveal the possible path to salvation. As the Foot Clan sweeps New York City for the rogue Ronin, a final desperate plan in the name of vengeance is made. Spanning decades, this issue's action and intrigue will set up the astounding final issues. There's an S on there. I thought it was only 4. I guess it's only 4 out of 5, maybe. If we look at the cover, they have Casey Jones' face mask hanging on a sword. I wonder if he passes in this episode, in this this issue, or that's just a cool art. The next one down looks like the Ninja Turtle is up and at him and ready for war. If you read number one, you know it wasn't that way before. I'm loving this journey. I have about 4 copies of this book already, so if someone needs one, let me know. I'll be picking up more copies as I go along. I will be picking up multiple copies of each one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, a story in the making for like the 30 years. Definitely get these books. All right, on to the next one. What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick, and I'm still in IDW. They've been killing it this month for me. What is a prose book? Anyway, let's get started. I'm on page 124, looking at the Star Wars The High Republic Adventures, number 1. Writer, Daniel Jose Older. Artist, Harvey Toledo. Good luck with that one. There is a retailer incentive from Yael Nathan. Full color, 32 pages, $3.99, available in February. Not final cover of the book depicted, but it's The High Republic Adventures that I've been talking about from like last month. So I will be collecting these as well. I'm going to try to stay on top of this. I want to figure out what's going on. All right, all new ongoing series. In the glory days of the Republic, 200 years before the adventures of Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewbacca, the Jedi stand as guardians of galactic peace until a powerful new adversary called, sorry about this, the Nihil arrives. I hope that's right. Now a group of young Padawans training under Master Yoda must protect the Republic while learning the lessons that will one day lead them to become powerful Jedi in their own right. Writer Daniel Older, best-selling author of Star Wars Last Shot, or Lost Shot. No, it's Last Shot, sorry. And artist Harvey Toledo, I may have messed that up again, brings IDW into the High Republic, a massive publishing crossover spanning comics and prose. I Google prose, still don't get it. I don't know, but I'm sure I ordered prose books. Anybody know what that is? Let me know on the Slack forum. All right, I'll definitely be getting this one. I've been really enjoying all this stuff. Like, it's getting me excited for the Star Wars stuff. On to the next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also in the IDW section, this time on page 128, with Usagi Yojimbo number 17. The writer, cover, and story artist is Stan Sakai. Tengu War Part 2 of 3, and I hope I pronounced that title correctly. For the first time, Usagi has to team up with yokai, haunts, and spirits against an even greater enemy. However, he must prove himself worthy to join their ranks and must face a challenge from a Tengu in a fight to the death. How can he defeat a creature said to be the greatest sword master in all of the country? End shops February 10th, 2021 for $3.99. I always look forward to reading an issue of Usagi Yojimbo because through anthropomorphic characters, I learn about Japanese history, culture, and folklore. So this issue looks really interesting as I learn what yokai actually is in Japanese mythology. Billy Hogan again. My final pick in this month's previews is also on page 128 in the IDW section with Usagi Yojimbo Wanderer's Road number 4 of 6. Writer and story artist is Stan Sakai with a cover drawn by Peach Momoko, The Blade of the Gods. Seeking safety from a storm, Usagi encounters an unusual and frightening fellow Ronin. The refuge turns into a dangerous trap as the Ronin believes the gods want him to kill Usagi. Read the thrilling encounter between Usagi and his most dangerous and terrifying enemy, Gia. And I had to look it up on the internet to learn how to pronounce this Japanese word, which is spelled J-E-I in English. I'm glad IDW is beginning to reprint Usagi Yojimbo's earliest adventures, this time in full color, because It lets me catch up on some of the great Usagi Yojimbo stories I've missed out on since I was so late jumping aboard the Usagi Yojimbo series. But I hope one day to collect all of the previous stories I've missed out on in trade paperback. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. I hope all of you had a safe, healthy, and happy Thanksgiving. And I want to wish all of you happy holidays and a happy new year, since it'll be 2021 before we get together again to share new clips from the January 2021 previews. And let's hope that by the time we get to this time next year, that things will begin to return to normal and we can finally put this pandemic into the past.
My next pick is one that I'm getting, but I got mixed feelings on, because it's King in Black Marauders number one. And I'm all in on the X-Men stuff, but mostly out on King in Black. Matter of fact, the only things I think I'm getting are the Valkyrie miniseries and the Symbiote Spider-Man one. I'm not getting even the main King in Black miniseries. So I'm getting this because it's got the X-Men characters and I'm all in over there. So, yeah, otherwise I'd probably skip, like I'm skipping most of the other King in Black things. Not because I think it's bad or anything, I just am really not that big of a Venom fan, and it's just riffing off that and stuff. Anyways, I'm getting it. Cover art looks good, but it's by a different artist than the interior artist. Off the top of my head, I don't remember what Luke Ross's art looks like. I'm not great with artist names and stuff like that, creator names in general, actually. So, cautiously optimistic about this. Gonna get it because, you know, I like Kitty Pryde and the X-Men stuff going on these days. Jerry Dugan's doing some decent stuff these days. So I'm gonna try it out, but like I said, I'm skipping most of the King in Black stuff. And we'll see how accessible the story is, given I'm not reading most of it. So that is on page 4 of the Marvel previews. And once again, that's King in Black Marauders number 1. Check it out.
X-Men Patrick here, and I am looking in the Marvel section. I'm on page 19. I could tell you all the King in Black books I'm getting, but I'd rather not. Although the Gwen Stacy one and the Gwenpool versus Carnage one is pretty cool, or whatever it's called, Gwenom. Anyway, Avengers Mech Strike number 1 of 5. Writer Jed McKay. Carlos Magno is the artist. Cover by Kei Zama. Variant cover by EJ Su, and another by Gerald SNG. Top variant cover, toy variant cover, sorry, also available. Earth's Mightiest Heroes. They become mechs to fight a new bad guy. I don't know why the Hulk needs a mech, but he's got one. You got Hulk Buster. Spider-Man has a mech on the page. You got Black Panther, Black Widow, Captain Marvel. And I'm guessing that one over there looks like Optimus Prime is probably Thor. This looks cool. Another little series I'll be picking up. Marvel seems to be popping up a bunch of these little series that I love picking up. And there's a new villain in it. So new armor, new villain. Speculator should be popping on this too. All right, on to the next one.
Dr. Mo here with a pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's X-Men Legends number 1. If you're an old-school X-Men fan, there's certain questions you've probably wanted answers to. Like, for instance, who's the third Summers brother? Marvel is launching a new X-Men series designed to answer some of those questions that fans of the mutant universe have been wondering for decades now. This new series kicks off with a story arc written by Fabian Nicenza, with art provided by Brett Booth, in which perhaps we will find out once and for all who is that third Summers brother. Now you're probably wondering, didn't Ed Brubaker answer that question when he introduced Vulcan in Deadly Genesis? Yeah, I'm sure that it's not going to change. Vulcan will still end up being a sibling of Scott and Alex, but perhaps maybe there's another Summers brother out there. Who knows? I'm looking forward to Fabian being back on the X-Books. He certainly was one of my favorite X-Men writers of the 1990s in that post-Claremont era. He was really doing some tremendous work, not only on the Ejectiless X-Men title, but also on X-Force as well. He brought a bit of characterization in those books that kind of helped to balance sort of the, you know, plot hijinks of that era. Now, like all Marvel number ones, this first issue will be 40 pages, priced at $4.99. X-Men Legends number one can be found on page 28 of the Marvel Previews catalog.
My next pick is another one I'll be sampling, but maybe not committing to until I see some issues and see how I like it and such. And that is X-Men Legends number one on page 28 of the Marvel Previews catalog. This is, I don't want to say fill-in stories, but stories set in the past of the X-Men universe, filling in some continuity gaps or whatnot. We got Fabian Nicieza doing the writing, Brett Booth doing the art on the first issue. And I expect the creative team will probably change over the issues. Interesting pick for those two in terms of, I really trying to remember the last big thing Fabian Nicieza did. He was a terrific writer back when he was doing stuff. And I'm presuming the story will be set during, you know, the era of his heyday at Marvel and such. And Brett Booth, again, very talented artist and such. I just don't know how interested I am in them diving deeper and expanding the X-Men mythos and how relevant those things will be to current continuity and how much I'll like, you know, again, bouncing around in time and stuff like that. I may love it. I may not. I don't know. But I'm certainly going to check it out. I think it'll be interesting. These are, you know, all new in continuity stories, and we'll see how that plays out. And again, what kind of reverberations they have on, you know, the modern day X-Men such going on. They've got a story featuring Cyclops and Havok with the Shi'ar returning to Earth. That in and of itself honestly doesn't totally excite me, but it's an X-Men book. We'll see what happens. I'm curious about it. It's worth checking out. If you're looking for more stories of days gone by of the X-Men, this is definitely something I think you ought to check out. Whether it sticks around for any length of time really depends on how much of an anthology it is, how good the creators are from story to story, and how relevant it feels, or at least how self-contained it may be. It may be that even if it's not relevant, if they're good, you know, in and out stories versus the ongoing, you know, soap opera melodrama type stuff, it could do well. Either way, I'm going to sample it, see how I like it, and that's X-Men Legends number one on page 28 of the Marvel Previews.
Dr. Mo here with another pick from the Marvel section of the Previews catalog. It's X-Men number 18. So cast your minds back, X-Friends, to the pre-Ten of Swords era. I know, lots of swords, lots of crossing over. I'm sure people are suffering from a bit of COVID haze, but if you remember, earlier on in this run of X-Men, Jonathan Hickman sent a trio of X characters off to follow up on the Children of the Vault. They pursued them inside the vault. This storyline coincided with the Giant Size X-Men issue that came out earlier this year featuring Storm. Now, that team in X-Men 18 is slated to return. Who knows what's going to happen to them? Are they going to be mutated? You know, are they going to have unlocked the secrets of mutantdom? Who knows? Why do I care? Quite simply, I love two of the three characters who are part of this trio. X-23 goes now by Wolverine, Laura Kinney, Everett Thomas, Sink. Everett Thomas was one of the characters I felt like had a bit of untapped potential that was tragically lost when he was killed off in Generation X. Sync has this, like Rogue, has this interesting power. He can, you know, sort of absorb slash duplicate mutant abilities. He projects this interesting sort of rainbow aura. If you bought those issues of Generation X back in the mid-90s, the character was beautifully rendered by Chris Bachalo. Terry Dodson also worked on that character as well. You know, he was probably one of the more confident mutant characters. And now that Jonathan Hickman has brought him back, you know, he's one of those mutants who were displaced and out of time. So I'm looking forward to seeing him back on Krakoa, interacting with his former Gen X peers a bit more, maybe taking a bit more of a limelight. Laura Kinney, X-23, what can I say? Tom Taylor really cracked that character when she had her own Wolverine series. I think it's sort of a shame that the character has gotten a bit sidelined in this Jonathan Hickman relaunch, and maybe that was part of his master plan. Who knows? He wanted to do this, I would probably say maybe put her on ice for a little bit, bring her back, and really allow Laura to take more prominence and more of an active role in what's going on and on Krakoa. We shall see. And with Jonathan Hickman, it's about the long game. It's about the white pages, the charts and graphs, and so forth. So, again, mutancy is reigning supreme now, post Ten of Swords. Again, things are kicking a bit more into high gear. Definitely looking forward to seeing what this latest chapter of the Jonathan Hickman X-Men revamp brings us. X-Men 18, written by Jonathan Hickman. Art is provided by Muhammad Assar, who is a truly wonderful and gifted artist. Can be found on page 41 of the Marvel catalog and costs $3.99.
Hey, this is James back with a pick, and this time I'm in the Marvel Supplemental, and I'm over on page 57. And the one thing that I want to call out is Thor number 12, and the one it says Dr. Foster and Blake, ready your scalpels. So I guess we get Dr. Jane Foster and Dr. Blake, so I'm not sure what's going on here. We do know with Donald Blake what's been going on in the story. I'm not going to spoil it, but it was really kind of cool. Alter ego for Thor, but he still exists. When Thor is Thor, Donald Blake kind of lives his own life. And then when Donald Blake's here, Thor kind of goes to his happy place. So the storyline's been going around this, but this one, it looks like we're going to have Jane Foster back and Donald Blake. And we're going to see, of course, they were more than friends. But we're going to see their interactions with the new status quo change with Donald Blake. I will say that this is one of the excellent runs of Thor after Jason Aaron, which we just read, and Walt Simonson. They're really good. This one's pretty new. It's only in the 12 issues, so we're up to 2 trades in this. But I've been very happy. Every one of the storylines, there's only been 2 of them, has been excellent. John and I reviewed the first 6 issues of this, and he really enjoyed it too. So I would say if you guys are not reading Thor, you definitely need to pick it up. You could probably pick up the first 2 trades and then jump on at issue 13 if you want. But I'm always going to shout out this title because I think Donny Cates is doing an excellent job. The art in here is awesome. It's just a lot of fun. So if you're in the mood to have a lot of fun and read a good story, this is where you get it. On to my next pick.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick, and I'm still in the Marvel section. I'm closer to the back, looking at Star Wars. Star Wars, A High Republic, number 2. Kavon Scott, writer. Ario Andedito is the artist. Covered by Phil Noto. Variant cover by Ashley Witter. All new series continues. It looks like we have a one-armed Jedi. I didn't know there was a one-armed Jedi, but yes, I'm getting this book. Yes, we all know this. I'll read it. Who destroyed one of the Jedi's deadliest enemies? The Nihil, N-I-H-I-L, strike. It's all capitalized in this book. It wasn't on the other one I went through. The Nihil strike, a ship found adrift in space. The crew brutally slaughtered and cargo stolen. What terror awaits the Jedi of the Starlight Beacon as they explore the wreck? Newly knighted Keeve Trennis must overcome her insecurity in the face of new teammates, but can she trust her closest ally? 32 pages, rated T for teen, $3.99, sometime in February. So maybe this one-armed Jedi is a female. Maybe this isn't her at all, and it's somebody else. I don't know. Looks awesome. Cannot wait to read this. All right, on to the next pick. X-Men Patrick here, and I thought I was done, but I decided to do one last one because I noticed something. Guess what's not in the back of the book with the Star Wars stuff? There's no bounty hunters. So we have Star Wars number 11 and Star Wars Darth Vader number 10. And there's also no, what's that other chick that had a book out too? And it's just the two Star Wars books. There's no Dr. Aphra, there's no bounty hunters. Weird, but yeah, definitely continue to pick up Star Wars, definitely continue to pick up Darth Vader. Both those books are pretty awesome. That's the reason why I'm into all this High Republic stuff, because those books are great. All right, guys, on to the next.
Hey, this is James back again with another pick of the Marvel Supplemental. I'm just going to browse through here and just shout out some things real quick. And then get to my real pick. The reason why I'm at the back in the collected editions, and there's some omnibus. They have a Spider-Gwen omnibus, but I'm probably not going to pick that up. They have the X-Men Age of Apocalypse omnibus, and I already have that, so I'm not going to be picking that up. They also have a new printing of the Heroes Reborn omnibus. I have that, so I'm not picking that up. And believe it or not, they also have a reprinting of the Man-Thing omnibus, which was impossible to get. I actually have the Man-Thing omnibus, the first volume, so I'm not picking that one up, but just for you guys to know if you're interested. The one that I am going to be picking up is on page 80, and that is Wolverine Omnibus Volume 2. It's written by Peter David, Archie Goodwin, Joe Duffy, Walter Simonson, Alan Davis, Marv Wolfman, Eric Larson, Michael Higgins, Howard Mackey, and more. Penciled by just a plethora of people, including Jim Lee. The cover on this thing is by Jim Lee, so if you like Jim Lee art, there's a Jim Lee cover for you. There's a Byrne cover, too. It's up to you which one you want to get. And Jim Lee does some of the internal art in here. So I'm going to tell you what's collected in this, because we're going back quite a ways. Wolverine, 1988, number 11 through 30. Wolverine, Nick Fury, The Scorpio Connection. Wolverine, The Jungle Adventure. Wolverine, Bloodlust. And material from Marvel Comics Presents, 1988, number 38 through 71. So it's a lot of 90s. I think there's some 80s stuff in here. Good stuff back when I was reading it, and I just have been away from it for a while, and I haven't revisited. So this is actually a good time to go back and read it and enjoy it. I can't remember if it was issue 11 of the Wolverine run, which had a Sabretooth and Wolverine fight. It was either issue 10 or issue 11. I have it in singles, but that might be in here too. But there's all kinds of good stuff. This one is a decent sized one. It's 1,024 pages for $125. I will pick it up for $62.50 from Cowabunga. And that's one of the omnibus that I am picking up this month. So on to my next pick.
This is Nick with another pick from the main previews catalog on page 136. This is from the Dynamite section. And this is Sonya Versal, number 1, available February 3rd for $3.99, written by Christopher Hastings. The artist here is Pasquale Quilano, and a host of covers, as Dynamite is wont to do. But let me just read you the description here, and you can make your own determination on whether you think this is interesting or too derivative. But it says, "This is the most important comic book to ever come out in the history of the world, starring Red Sonja, Blue Sonja, Green Sonja, Orange Sonja, Saint Sonja, Hell Sonja, and many, 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 many more. An evil god punishes Sonjas across dimensions. What's the punishment? Sonjas must kill other Sonjas. The battle for Sonja supremacy begins, In the Event of 2021 by Christopher Hastings and Pasquale Quilano. And I know Pasquale has done some other art for Dynamite, so you might have come across his art in some previous Red Sonja work. And you can see in the catalog the whole host of different covers that are available. They're definitely trying to promote this with a whole host of artists. And I think, yes, here it was. A couple of pages down in the catalog on page 140, there's an interview with writer Christopher Hastings, who answers some questions, and they kind of jokingly compare it to Crisis on Infinite Sonjas. Is it going to be a tournament? Those kind of things. And basically, Christopher Hastings says he wants to have fun with the title and really play on, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths and all these other stories like that that have pit characters from across different dimensions and realities and different versions to see what would happen. And he just mentions that he talks about letting the artist have free reign and coming up with a whole bunch of these things and trying to make it like a big, you know, big, just high action movie type thing. So there's Mech Pilot Sonja and Dinosaur Sonja that will come up, big guns, motorcycles, explosives, you know, all that kind of thing. So I'm curious to see what they end up coming up with, and I don't know how many issues the series is going to go, but if you're into anything fun in comic books, and you're at least somewhat familiar with the idea of the Red Sonja or any kind of barbarian running around with swords and axes and stuff, I think this one will be worth checking out, and hopefully it's pretty fun. So again, check out all the previews that are there in the Dynamite section.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. This time I'm in the Boom section, and I'm over on page 168, and I'm looking at a comic by Maria Lovett, and it is Luna number 1 of 5. Now, the reason why I'm shouting this one out, by the way, they have a Jenny Frison cover for variant cover for those of you guys who are Jenny fans. But the reason why I'm calling this out, it's for fans of Faithless and Die, which I am a fan of Faithless. That was kind of cool. And Maria Lovett, I have become just enamored with her art. I love it. It's something that I'm not normally drawn to, but I can't get enough of her art. So this is definitely an art pickup for me. I've seen another book that she wrote, and it was pretty good. But this one, I'm going to read off to you what it says. But for fans of Faithless, which I was, and Die, which I don't remember if I read Die, it says, artist Maria Lovett writes a story about a young woman named Teresa who's plagued by prophetic dreams that connect her to something powerful, something divine. When Teresa fatefully crosses paths with the family of the sun, she believes them to be exactly what anyone else in their late 60s would expect, a hippie cult whose leader claims to have met the divine. But the secret blood rituals, powerful drugs, and sex runneth amok will bring Teresa face to face with the truth about the family, herself, the dark secret behind the dreams, immortality, magic, and alchemy, and the true power of enduring love collide in this new series for mature readers. So it definitely looks trippy, kind of psychedelic, the art on the side. Like I said, I'm a fan of Maria Lovett. I've been just attached to her art. So if you're a fan of hers, or if you want to try something different, this is one I'd recommend picking up. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick. Now, the last two picks, I always tend to save something for Aftershock and AWA. They always have a lot of good stuff. Here in the back half, I've cut back quite a bit, but there's a couple things in Aftershock that look kind of interesting, but the one that I want to shout is on page 210, and that's called Nuclear Family, and it's Stephanie Phillips, and Tony Shastine is the artist. By the way, the internal art by Tony Shastine looks really good. Stephanie Phillips has been pretty decent, so I like a lot of her stuff. And what this one is about, it's a $4.99, 32 pages. For some reason, they've gone to the $4.99 for the first issue on almost all the Aftershock books versus the typical $3.99 that we see. Inflation. It says, America, 1957. Elvis dominates the airwaves and apple pie is served after every meal. But with the dark cloud and nuclear holocaust looming, Korean War vet Tim McLean's major concern for taking care of his family in the atomic age. When the first bomb does drop on an unexpected Midwest city, Tim and his family find themselves plunged into a strange new world where what's left of the United States has gone underground while continuing to wage war on Russia with unthinkable tactics. So kind of, I remember when I was young, you know, I was born in 73. I went to school in the 80s, pretty much in the elementary school. I remember we'd have hurricane drills in Florida, and they had like nuclear stuff even then, which was kind of funny, you know, get under your desk. But you have a picture, the cover here, of this family all wearing gas masks, and it's talking about a post-apocalyptic world and stuff. I kind of like stuff like this. I know it's not too, you know, fun and cheery. And like I said, the art in here just looks amazing. So I'm definitely going to give this one a try. Stephanie Phillips, I think she's also doing that comic A Man Among You that I really like, just to give you a frame of reference for some things that she does. And I know John likes her too with in A Man Among You. So check out Nuclear Family if it sounds like something you would like. And on to my next and my last pick.
Dr. Mo here with another pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's The Wrong Earth, Night and Day, number 2 from Ahoy Comics. This sequel to The Wrong Earth, which quite frankly is one of my favorite titles in the last few years, continues. We have the two titular characters, Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man, who coincidentally are stand-ins for the Batman of the 1966 series and a Batman who is in the vein of the broody, post-crisis, Frank Miller-esque Batman. So I'm sure that there's going to be superhero hijinks, obviously this sort of culture clash. I cannot wait to see how there's just the chaos that's going to ensue when you put these two together in a dragonfly vehicle. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be a refreshing comic to read because it's not going to be overly steeped in continuity. It's going to be very, fairly straightforward. The artist provided by Jamal Igel, who is a very clean superhero artist. If you're familiar with Jamal Igel at all, he's been in the biz for over 25 years at this point. His style just continuously evolves, and I think he gets better and better. Jamal Igel also posts preview art from The Wrong Earth, whether it's covers, some interior artwork on his social media pages. I advise you to seek his social media pages out just to look at some of the preview art, because the non-colored work is very attractive to look at. The writer of this is Tom Pyre. Tom Pyre has been overseeing the sort of Wrong Earth franchise. He did the Dragonfly Man miniseries that kind of bridged the gap between the first Wrong Earth miniseries and this Wrong Earth miniseries. Again, I cannot stress enough how much fun the series is. And again, if you want something that is not overly steeped in continuity, just something that is easy to get on board with, you can't go wrong with this title. The Wrong Earth, Night and Day number 2, can be found on page 219 of previews and costs $3.99.
Hey, this is James back with my last pick. I try not to do too many because I was getting crazy with the picks that I had in there. When I go over here to AWA, first off, I'm going to point out something, but I'm not going to really talk about this one. On page 240, there's a book that called Redemption, with Christina Faust, and the illustration by Mike Diodato looks pretty excellent, looks kind of cool. But the one I'm going to shout out is something completely different, but it looks like it could be fun, interesting, depending on how it goes. And I picked out someone that I know nothing about. It's on page 242, and it's called Casual Fling Number 1 by Jason Starr and Dale DeLibertantis. Vitalik. I'm butchering that name, but I can't pronounce it. Okay, this one, the art in it looks decent. I get some of the preview art. You get a cover there, so it looks decent. It says Jennifer Ryan has the perfect life, a loving family, a high-paying job in corporate law, a luxurious apartment in Upper Manhattan. Then one day, she steps out of her marriage and finds that her new lover isn't the one the one-night stand she expected. Stalked and threatened with exposure, Jennifer attempts to unravel the true identity of her tormentor, discovering valuable clues and the trail of destruction left in this mysterious man's wake. So I know it's not something, you know, my personal life, it doesn't apply, but I was like, that could be kind of cool. I guess this lady went out, had a fling, and now this guy is blackmailing her in her desperate attempt to try and save what she has when she realizes she messed up. Sounds like it could be a fun read. I honestly don't know, but that's one that I'm going to say, if you want to take a flyer, it sounds like a cool premise. And that's going to be my last pick for the month. I wish I could record it more, but I've been super busy with stuff at work. But I am looking forward to everyone's clips. And so hopefully you guys pick out some good stuff, because every time I listen to previews, the spotlight, I pick out at least one, two, sometimes three things that I wasn't going to get, or I'd mark kind of like maybes. And when you guys shout them out, I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely get it. So until next time, thanks for all you do, John. Take care. Bye.
X-Men Patrick, I'm back, and I am in the preview section on page 259. We are looking at Disney Lucas Press. Star Wars, The High Republic, Into the Dark, hardcover. You knew I was going to get this one. Alright, writer is Claudia Gray, artist is Baroni. Padawan Wreath is being sent from cosmopolitan galactic capital of Coruscant to the underdeveloped frontier, and he couldn't be less happy about it. He'd rather stay at the Jedi Temple, studying the archives. But when the ship he's traveling on is knocked out of hyperspace into a galactic-wide disaster, Wreath finds himself at the center of the action. The Jedi and the traveling companions find refuge on what appears to be an abandoned space station. But then strange things start happening, leading the Jedi to investigate the truth behind the mysterious station, the truth that could end in tragedy. $17.99, prose book. Why? I have no idea. 448 pages. I'm getting all the High Republic things. I don't want to be surprised. I'm really liking the Marvel books right now. So, yeah, add this one to the collection. All right, on to the next pick. X-Men Patrick here, and I'm on page 305 in the back of the book. And I have not read number one yet. I do have it, and I know it's already, the price of this book has gone up. But we're looking in Scout, and it's The Recount, number two, by Jonathan Hendrick. Gabriel Ibarra Nunez is the artist. This is actually pretty on point if I just read the description about what's going on right now. It's kind of scary. Just after being sworn in as President of the United States, Meredith McDermott discovers a plot to execute the Electoral College. Special Agent Bartow and her race to save one of the members before the masses gets to him first. In the meantime, everyday American citizens are beginning to take matters into their own hands. Wow, that sounds familiar with everything going on. $3.99, 32 pages, full color. Like I said, I definitely picked up number one. I have it. I just haven't read it yet. I'm going to continue picking this up, and I think it already got picked up for a movie or something, too. All right, on to the next pick. Short and sweet.
This is Nick with a pick from the main previews catalog in the Titan comic section, page 312. This is for Blade Runner Origins, number one of an ongoing series. The writer here is Kay Perkins, Mello Brown, and Mike Johnson. So another team effort on one of these Blade Runner comics. And I believe, that one of those is kind of the storyboard writer or the actual scripter of the latest Blade Runner movies. But I'm not 100% certain on that. I know it was talked about with one of the 2019 or 2029 stories for Blade Runner that had been put out recently. Anyway, in this case, the artist is Fernando Dagnino or Dagnino. And it's going to be a $3.99 book. And from the description here, it says Los Angeles, 2009. Uncover the story behind the first Blade Runners. A Tyrell Corporation scientist is dead, the victim of an apparent suicide. But when LAPD Detective Cal Moreau is called in to investigate, he uncovers secret documents revealing a new kind of replicant and a conspiracy that could change the world. And if you are a fan of Blade Runner as a story, definitely check this out. Should give you some of the background of how we got to that point in Ridley Scott's movie.
This is Nick with another pick from the Titan section of the main previews catalog on page 316. It's Snoopy Come Home, a small trade paperback collection. Of course, black and white. These are the old strips by Charles Schulz. It says these are some of your favorite characters, including Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Lucy, Schroeder, Linus, and Susan Brown. Collects 126 Peanut comic strips that first appeared in newspapers across the world between 1962 and 65. And this is another one of those, you know, 120-page digest-sized collections that Titan has put out. I think at this point, this probably is something like number 10 or so in the line that they've done. So definitely check these out if you are a Peanuts fan, or if you've got a kind of a young cartoon aficionado in your family. These are very easy to digest type collections, and of course this one probably will focus a lot on Snoopy, so check it out. It's $6.99, available in April.
I hope everybody was able to find something they were interested in this time in previews. For me, and I've only done a quick pass through the catalog and such, getting about 7 items maybe from Image. Only, I think, 1 from Dark Horse would be a Resident Alien Your Ride's Here, which might be the final issue of that. 32 from DC, because, again, I'm all in on Future State. But really, at this point, beyond that, the only thing I know I'm going to be getting from DC is the final 2 issues of Far Sector. Beyond that, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to get anything. I don't know what's next for DC. So it'll be interesting to see what's up with that. About 5 items from IDW, about 21 from Marvel, nothing from Dynamite. I think it's been a little while since Dynamite's had something I've been interested in. 2 for Boom, those are of course Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Power Rangers. I didn't see an issue of 7 Secrets there, although they did have the trade. And again, I've only done a quick pass through the catalog, only 1 thing from the back half, so I need to take a closer look, see if I'm missing some stuff, because no doubt I am. That's about 69 items, which is actually around how much I've been getting per month these days. So I've definitely cut back quite a bit, but I'm always looking for good things to read, and I appreciate everybody sending in clips to these episodes. It certainly helps me find new things, and hopefully it helps you listeners out there as well. I want to thank everybody who sent in clips, so thanks Billy, James, Mo, Nicholas, and Patrick. We only had 5 people submit this time, but they sent in plenty of clips, so that certainly helped. But this is an open submission policy, and these episodes are really what you make of them. So if there's something that you think somebody should have pointed out, well, it's kind of on you for not having done that. So next month, the deadline is going to be bright and early Saturday morning, January 9th. So you've got some time to get your clips in. And really, again, it just takes a few minutes. If you've got a smartphone, there's an app to record your audio there. All you've got to do is then just share it with me via email and such. There's instructions on the forum for how to do it. It's pretty easy. And again, great way to share your love of comics and, you know, get people interested in the comics you enjoy, which helps those comics stick around. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.